Nights we've been going through a series about Psalms 119, and I've been enjoying it. I hope that you have. And also, we do have one prayer request. We don't always share prayer requests through a live stream just because of the personal nature and not people giving permissions, but there is one that we do want to mention to you. Most of you know that Jesse Parker is in ICU, and he has COVID pneumonia, and he's had a rough day today, or a rough last night or into today. And he could really use your prayers. And I asked Miss Trish, and obviously I know most people wouldn't mind saying it out loud, but I know sometimes the church family, we give updates to. And if you don't get one of those updates, you want to be included on an email list or a text message list, and there's a prayer chain list that goes out. But we've had a lot of those in the last week. But Mr. Jesse is having problems with kidney function, which they're really concerned about. And also they're keeping him sedated quite a bit, and they're trying to, you know, take that off, and just the reactions of that and all those different things going on. Also blood pressure is an issue and some other things too. But if you can just keep them in your prayers, I know Ms. Trish would greatly appreciate it. I know Mr. Jesse would greatly appreciate it. He's been a part of our church family for a long time, and he's loved by many people and just very kind man. So be praying for Jesse Parker. And I know there's a number of other people there dealing with physical issues, and we'll talk about that on a prayer request time off camera. So, okay, so Psalms 119, verse number 25 to 32 tonight. It's kind of neat as you watch the psalmist, and I believe it's David that's writing it. You see some really encouraging things. Last week, he was talking about people weren't going to appreciate what he was doing and how he was living for God. Chapter, in the first section, he talked about he saw people that were blessed. He decided that's what he wanted, and he was determined to do it. Tonight, he uses the words, quicken thou me. And the idea of that word quicken is talking about bringing life. It's talking about reviving. As we talk about our fall Bible conference, it's fall revival. It's the idea of bringing back to life or quickening those things that are already inside of us. And that's what I think David's saying here. He said, Lord, I need your help. Lord, bring revival to my heart. And it's a great passage of scripture, and there's a lot of really good things in here tonight. Let's go ahead and just jump in here. Psalms chapter 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. And teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove me from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in a night when there's a lot of things going on in our hearts and our minds, Lord, we're asking you to quicken us or to revive us, Lord, according to thy word. And Lord, we need your help tonight. Lord, there's lots of times in our flesh, we're dealing with the flesh wanting to stick with the things of the world. And Lord, it's always a battle. And Lord, help us to determine, like we see here in the Psalms tonight, as David was talking about running to it, as David was talking about choosing the pathway. Lord, help us to make those choices and stick by it. God, I do pray for Mr. Parker tonight. Lord, he's one of your servants, sweet man. Got a good testimony, a good heart, and being willing to do so much, even jobs that most people wouldn't enjoy, does it with a smile. Help Miss Trish also during this time and the rest of his family, Lord, as it's got to be difficult, not knowing what the future will hold. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do what we've been doing most of the times, is just looking at it verse by verse, phrase by phrase, and there's just a lot in there. So we'll start off here. The first one, that first phrase is, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And we hear that word cleave, and we think about what we've been learning in our marriage class or couples class, whatever you want to call it, how the husband and wife are supposed to stick to one another. They're supposed to cleave to one another. They're supposed to cling. They're supposed to follow close by. They're supposed to be joined together. And that's the idea there, that they're, that's the same type of word, is they're cleaving together and they're supposed to be together. Doesn't mean you have to be together 24 hours a day, but at the same time, it's a pursuing. I'm not going to let you go. You're going to be what I'm holding to. You're going to be what I'm, some people say, stuck with. You're the thing that I am actually clinging to. Obviously, to the Lord, but the Bible says, you know, that they should leave their father and mother and cleave. And that's what the idea is. And there's many husbands and wives that have no interest in cleaving, no interest in spending time together. It's more of a business relationship. You live on this side of the house, you live on that side of the house for the sake of the kids, we'll pay the bills and this and that, or, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But when you come to this spot here, what David is saying is, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I believe he's referring to the fact that how our fleshly side is always cleaving to the things of this world. And there's an inner battle. There's a struggle for someone who's trying to live for God. And it will always be there. I know I get confused sometimes by people that think that, hey, I'm never going to sin again. And they get to this sinless perfection. Maybe I'm just not there, but I don't think that happens. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Even in the book of Romans, probably most people consider the Apostle Paul one of the benchmarks or one of the people to look up there. He talks about this battle in Romans chapter number 7. Listen to what it says in verses 18 through 25. He says, "For I know that in me," and this is Paul speaking, this is not me. It's easy for you to say that about me, but not probably the Apostle Paul. "That is in my flesh," talking about the fleshly side, because when we become saved, we become a new creature. We have a new spirit, but we still deal with our flesh. He says, "Dwelleth no good thing." That means my fleshly side, there's nothing good about it. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." In my flesh, yeah, I might want to do what's right, but it's not going to happen in my flesh. Then he says, "For the good that I would do not," excuse me, "for the good that I would, I do not." Those things that I really want to do, those things I know that are right, I just don't do those things. "But the evil which I would not, that I do." Inside my flesh, those things I don't want to do, those are things I end up doing. Even though I know what I'm supposed to do, but when I'm leaning on the flesh, when I'm doing what my flesh wants, those good things I plan on doing, it's not going to happen. And those things I regret doing, I feel guilty about doing, those things I continue, he said, those are the things I end up doing. Once again, the Apostle Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is a believer saying these words. This is a battle, a struggle with the flesh and the spirit. And he says, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And it's a battle and a struggle that goes on. And he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He has a desire. There's a delight there. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And then he goes, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" If you read it and you think about it, and it's hard sometimes to even read clearly because you got to stop and start to get a good understanding. But he's saying, those things that I wanted to do, those things I know I'm supposed to do, those are things I just don't do. And when I try to do what's right, there's something in me that's warring against me, that's trying to say, you don't have to listen to that. Do this the other way. The last verse says, He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So you have an opportunity. The chapter before that, Romans chapter number 6, it says you're not servants of sin. You can choose to be obedient. You can choose to be instruments of righteousness. You can yield yourself that way, or you can yield yourself to unrighteousness. And you say, "Pastor, what's the big deal?" That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, "I need you to quicken me." It's because I need you to quicken me because I deal with this flesh. There is a battle that's going on in Galatians. I love the way he puts it. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." that your flesh is here and it's fighting the spirit, and over it's going head to head as you're getting up to read your Bible, and somebody's like, oh, you don't need to do that, put it off. Or you're getting the, you want to be a witness, and there's something in the back of your mind saying, no, I don't think you should. You know, you want to treat your wife right, or your husband right, treat your kids right. And there's all these things that are coming to you, and there's a fight there. And that's what David's saying here. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. He says, quicken thou me according to thy word. He said, because my flesh is always cleaving to the dust, it's always cleaving to this world, it's always desiring to do what's wrong, it's always desiring to lie and to steal and to do those things, anything that's contrary to God. And it might not be some big heinous sin to begin with, but it's just choosing to do what's wrong little by little that grows into something more. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul puts it this way, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says he understands all the things that are happening. He understands what's going on in his body. He knows it's a fight. He knows it's something that we battle against. You say, Pastor, I don't see the battle. I really doubt you're doing anything spiritually then either. Because I know with me, when I'm trying to do what's right, there is evil that's present with me. Like, as he said there, he says there's another something that's warring in his body. There's evil present with me. Even though he delights by in the law of the Lord, law of God after the inward man, he says, by another law of my members warring against the law of my mind. There is something that's there, and it's a struggle that we have. I know you can live for God, and you can have a revived life, and you can continue to do what's right, but the devil's just not going to let you freely go around serving God. He's going to be after you. And that's why he said, I bring my body into subjection. He said, Pastor, that's just a little bit overkill. It's not. It's what the Apostle Paul was saying, this great Christian that served God in such a great way. And he was tempted in so many different ways. I mean, he could have been discouraged. He could have been prideful. He was human. He wasn't perfect. But he says, look, I saw this, and this was always a battle. And I love that passage of Scripture because it reminds me that I got to fight. And that's what David says here in Psalms 119, I need to be quickened. I need to be revived. I need to make sure that I am always looking to strengthen myself because there is a battle, because my flesh, because of my soul, it uses here, cleaveth unto the dust, because this fleshly side of me is attracted to this world, I need you to quicken me. So that's the first phrase you see here, my soul cleaveth to the dust. It clings to it. It adheres to it. It follows close to it. Our flesh is going to want to do what's wrong. Our flesh is going to want to not forgive. Our flesh is going to want to think about ourselves and be selfish. And then he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken has the idea to revive, to make alive. By God's grace, he's asking to put that type of life into his affections. He said, I want you, Lord, to quicken me. It's something that God does. It's something that God revives us. He wants a reviving help to combat the flesh. He wants to be revived by the word of God. And sometimes people get lifted up and it says, according to thy word. Some people get excited about a song. And I'm good if a song is doctrinally right. And I think a song can help you. But at the same time, it can't be just about the music. It can't be just about the medley. It can't be just what's pleasing to us. It's the doctrine that's involved in there that the Holy Spirit can use. And that's what David is saying here. He says, I want you to quicken me. I want you to revive me according to thy word. I don't want to get revived according to some man. I don't want to get revived because of some specific incident. I want your word to teach me, because all those other things are going to fail. All those other things are going to pass away, but your word will not. Now, who's the type of person that God quickens? Who's the type of person that God revives? Because David is saying, my soul is always after this flesh. My soul is always after this world. And my fleshly side always wants to do what's wrong. God, I need your revival. I need you to revive my heart. I need you to quicken me according to thy word. Think about some of the great passages about revival. Isaiah 57:15, probably my favorite. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the Bible's saying there, if you want your heart to be quickened, if you want your heart to be revived, what has to happen is you have to be humble. You have to be willing to dwell. It says, who is dwelling the high in the holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Meaning the person that is sitting there and saying, I need God. I'm dwelling in the heavenly places. I am focusing on his word and I'm learning about him. And I am sitting there and God, I need you to revive me. I need you to quicken me. The person you see here not being quickened is the people that are prideful. There are a lot of people in the world today don't think they need anything from God. A lot of people sit in churches that think that they're good, nothing's wrong. I'm fine, my kids are fine. But who has truly gets quickened? Who truly gets revival? The Bible says, but God giveth more grace, wherefore he say, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And that humble and that humility that's spoken about in Isaiah 57, spoken about in James, is spoken about in 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. David is saying, I can't handle this on my own. I need your reviving work. I need your reviving spirit. I don't care how many people tell you you're a good person. I don't care how many people give you a compliment. It's the idea, he says, I know I need you. I need to be revived according to your word. And Hebrews 4:12 talks about the importance of the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and of the joints and of marrow and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. That's what he's saying here. He says, "Revive me according to your word." Your word's the one that can truly be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your word is something that is quick, it's something that's alive, it's something that's powerful, and it's dividing the sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Your the word is the one that can revive me unlike anything else can. So he says here in that first verse, quicken thou me. And that's the title of tonight's message, because I think it's the part of the passage that's important here. He sees there's a battle. God, I'm humbly asking you, please revive me, because nothing else will. Nothing else can. I can try to make myself look good. I can try to be the best person in everybody's mind at church. But at the same time, I'm coming to this moment in time where I realize, God, without you, I'm not going to win this battle with the flesh. So let's look now at verse number 26. He says, I've declared my ways. What does that mean, I've declared my ways? There's an open confession there. He's told what he's done wrong. He wasn't hiding anything. He brought the things out into the light. He's honest with God. And many times that's what I'm sitting there when I'm talking to God about my sin issues or my problem issues. And he says, okay, God, I got a problem here. I'm tired of hiding it. I'm tired of putting it back in that spot that I never want to approach. I want to take this. And he says, I declared my ways. I have brought it out in the open, God. Because why? Because I need revival. I'm not going to win this battle against the flesh. I need to be quickened. I need to be revived. So because of that, I've declared my ways. I've sat down and I've been open and honest with you, Lord. I've asked you to search me. I've asked you to look at my thoughts, my intents. I've asked you to search me, O Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. I've asked those things. Many times we don't really need that. It's if we would deal with the problems that we know we have and we bring out those things, God's going to bring the rest of the things out. But I brought it out to the light. I have a problem with this relationship. I have a problem with this music. I have a problem with this sin. I have a problem with this, and I have a problem with that. And there's burdens on our heart, and we bring it out there and says, I need to be quickened. I've declared my ways. The Bible talks about, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. God is not going to help those person who is trying to hide their sin. He said, if you confess and you forsake, that's when I can help you. And that's what David's saying. I've declared my works. I've told you what I've done. Remember in Psalm chapter 51, that was the psalm that was written after the great sin with Bathsheba. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And he's saying in his word here, he says, I declared all my ways, and you're not despising me because I'm not holding something back. But when God looks inside your heart, and God knows there's something in there, and you're saying how much you love him, you're giving this sacrifice, you're serving this way, he says those things are things that he hates. Think about what he said in Isaiah. I know the nation of Israel had done so much sin and done so much wrong. They were getting ready to sell them into bondage. But here's the thought there. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He's saying, get back to normal, biblical, Christian living. He says, stop playing with the games. He says, declare your works. Be honest with God and say, God, I'm struggling with this. He already knows it anyway. He says, bring it out into the light. And he says, stop trying to make those sacrifices. And Israel has gotten so bad and done so much wrong that prophet after prophet after prophet tried to get them to change and brought the word of God. But they still did their new moons and they still did their feasts. And God said, I hated them. They troubled me. He says, it was a wearisome to bear them. And when you prayed all those prayers, he says, I didn't even want to hear them. And that's what he said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord says he's not going to hear you. And Psalms 51 and Psalms says, look, if I regard iniquity in thine heart, the Lord will not hear thee. And if you have some type of sin in your heart, God's saying here in this passage of scripture, David is saying, I declared my ways. I need you to quicken me. And I need all those things. I need revival, but it's got to come here. God, help me here with this. I need to change. But it's like many people, they have certain things they keep to the back, things they don't want to deal with, things they just shovel off to a certain compartment in their heart. They're not the people who's going to get the quicken. They're not going to get the next couple of verses either. Because there's something they're holding on to that's so valuable to them and something they just won't get rid of, and they're not willing to sit open-hearted before God and say, God, you tell me what you really think about this. Because that's what David's saying. He wants his heart quickened. He wants revival, and it's not going to happen. Even the Lord as hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. And David is saying, I would have given so much to God. I would have sacrificed so much. But what God really wanted from me, he says, look, I declared my ways unto you. I told you all the things I know about myself. I was completely honest with you. Look at the next thing. He said, I declared my ways and thou heardest me. I don't know about you, I like that. God hears us. When there's troubling times and sad times, and there's people that you love sitting in the hospital, it's you want God to hear from you. You want God to hear your prayers. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that's what David's saying. When I was willing to declare all my ways, the goal is revival. The goal is quickening. When I was willing to declare all my ways to you, you heard me. You listened to me. Is it the fact that God is not able to? No, God can. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So David is saying, because I was willing to declare all my ways unto him, I've declared my ways unto him, God says, I've heard you. We know that God's going to hear us. As I said before, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But the key is, David was completely honest with him. He was willing to take some time to get quiet with the Lord and let the Lord say, you need to get rid of that. You need to change this. And listen to what God has. That's the person that gets quickened. Then he says here at the end of the verse, teach me thy statutes. He's truly sorrowful. He does not want this to go back again. He's anxious to avoid offending God again. He comes to him and says, look, I told you all the things that were wrong. You heard those things. Now, teach me your statutes. Teach me the things you want me to learn. Teach me the way I'm supposed to go. I don't want to go back to that. Now, he's not asking for the prophecies to be fulfilled. He's not asking for something that is, hey, God, give me some great new revelation or give me some great new. No, what is he saying? He says, I just want to make sure I don't make the same mistake again. I see the sin that I've had. I see the things I've done wrong. I want to be quickened. I want to be revived. Now, Lord, you heard my cry. You heard me call out my ways or declare my ways. Now, teach me thy statutes so I won't do it again. That's the guy that's going to get quickened. Let's keep on going. Now, and I like this in verse 27. He goes even a step farther. He says, not just teach them to me. He says, make me to understand them. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. I think this is a key that's missing in a lot of our churches, a lot in churches like ours. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk thy wondrous works. The reality is there's wonderful works in here. God's word is amazing. It has kept people he has done so much work in preserving it. There are so many awesome, wonderful truths in here. And I'm not talking about something you heard somebody else say. I'm talking about the ones that God gives you something in your heart because you've been studying it and you've been reading it. And nothing wrong with learning it from somebody else. But that's God speaks to our hearts. And that's what he's saying here. He says, God, I don't want you to just teach me thy statutes. I want you to make me understand the way of thy precepts. I want you to help me understand why you want that. And the why thing is really important. I think in the past generations, we've taught obedience, 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 and it should be that way. But we have now a generation of young people, actually last generation, that says, why? And there's so many people who don't have a scripture answer for it. David is looking for the heart of God, and David's saying, if you will teach me thy statutes, help me to understand the reason behind it, the way. And then he goes on and he says, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works? Because once you learn about God's heart from something, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be so much easier to talk about it. He's not asking for, once again, to understand the prophecies. He's saying, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Sometimes, and I'm not picking on anybody, I've been here for a lot of years, and sometimes when there's ministry, there's standards, there's rules, there's things that go along, sometimes people don't have the heart of the pastor. And I sometimes hear the way that they respond. And I know not always everybody has different personalities. I'm not a person that's super confrontational. I do take care of things, so I try to be gracious and merciful, but also I let things slide sometimes a little too much. But sometimes I watch somebody try to explain the reason why we have a certain rule or guideline. I'm thinking, and you missed the whole thing. There's no love. There's no grace. And because someone does something wrong, would it be better to let the person stay wrong or the person correcting the person be just as wrong? And I'm not trying to pick, because we shouldn't let people continue on sin. Sometimes people have to do it, and sometimes you have to deal with things. But sometimes I wonder, if we don't understand the way of thy precepts, we don't understand why God's asking for something, and we don't see the heart for God, and we don't love the heart for God, we don't all those different things, then when we come up with this that someone has told us that we've never learned for ourselves and never understood from the scriptures, then we miss the whole thing. And I've done that before. There are certain things in this world that I had to learn about and I had to study for myself, and I'm still studying and learning, that there was a challenge. I remember when, let me fix this. I remember when I was out of high school, and my wife wasn't the first person I dated. I dated a young lady. Her parents taught me the importance of dating and the right way of dating. They had learned something over the years. They had God's heart about it. And they explained the same principles I use for my sons. I understood it. It wasn't somebody says, you shouldn't do this, this, and this, and They don't have any guidelines. They don't have the heart for God on it. They don't see from the scriptures. Now, don't get me wrong. Is there a spot in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke? There isn't. It does talk about your body being a temple. Is there a spot in there that talks about not being immoral? It does, and you can show that. But can you explain to them why God had, you know, the damages is going to be for the marriage and the future and all those other things? What I'm saying is David was interested in getting the heart for God so he could explain it to other people. When we come across tough things, and sometimes there are rules, and sometimes it's got to be, this is the way it is because this is what the pastor says or what the parent says or because. And I didn't understand when I had an interest in this young lady, and I'm very, like I said, I'm thankful for my wife, I'm thankful that God brought her into my life instead of the other young lady. But these parents said, this is what we think is dating is right or courtship. And they went through these different things. And I was like, who are you? You're crazy. And then they began to explain, and they made a lot of sense. And they had God's heart on it. It wasn't something that they had learned from TV. Oh boy, we shouldn't get our lessons from TV, that's for sure. It wasn't even something that they had learned from their own personal experience. They had learned by watching and reading and studying the different things. And like I said, they applied things to me. And I could tell that they loved me and they loved their daughter. And that's something, and we never really, I guess, enter into a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship because they didn't believe in that, especially at how young the young lady was. It should be time and wait. I was out of high school. She wasn't yet. But God worked in my heart because there was someone who took the time and took the scriptures to explain something to me that was God's heart. And it was important to understand. And I remember one time listening to Lonnie Maddenly preach a sermon about standards, but talking about explaining why, knowing for the scriptures why you believe certain things. And it really encouraged my heart. And I want to encourage you, this is what David is saying here. He says, look, make me to understand thy ways, the way of thy precepts. And when I understand those, then I'll be able to explain them even more. I cringe sometimes when I hear sometimes people describe a rule or standard that people were expected to follow around here when the way they say it or the way they do things is a challenge because they don't have the heart behind of saying from the scriptures, hey, this is something that's going on. We should be seeking the heart and mind of God. We should be studying his word. We should be praying this prayer and saying, Lord, will you help me to understand the reasons why you say you shouldn't do these things? Now, with obedience, it brings understanding sometimes. And there are times that God's word says it, we don't question it, we do it. And that's what David's saying, Lord, I want you to help me understand why this is wrong and why we shouldn't do this and why the other thing. So I can talk about how wonderful you are. I'm going to obey you one way or another, but we need to help. And we're asking to learn about the heart of God. He said, who in the world does that? Well, Paul said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Jeremiah says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man in his glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And he's saying, if you're going to put something, if you're going to say there's something I'm going to hang my hat on, is that I know God and I understand the way he works. Now, we're never going to know the whole mind of God, but how many of us seek it? How many really go into his word and say, God, I see what your word says about this. Teach me the heart of the law. Teach me to understand your ways so I can talk to others about it. Well, sometimes there's people that are hard-nosed or hard-headed, and you just got to say, that's the way it is. Maybe later you'll get it or understand it. But we should understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And instead of trying to speak for God without even knowing what he thinks about a matter, we should ask him, Lord, how do you want me to say it? How do you want me to bring this across? What would be Christ-like? There's little braces. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus say it? What are those things that, and that's what David's saying here. He said, I want to be quickened. I've told you all the things that were wrong. God, I want you to teach me your statutes, but I want you to take a step further. I want you to teach me the way of thy precepts, the reason why we're going this way, what we're doing. And then he says, so shall I talk of thy wondrous laws. It is ill talking about something you do not understand. We must be taught of God till we understand. Then we may hope it to communicate that knowledge to others, with the hope of them profiting them. Talk without intelligence is nothing more than just mere talk. It's just something that's just saying blah, 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 blah. I have told Brother Jim more than once, I'm not the best music guy because I don't have a lot of music knowledge or terminology. I know those things that works for me. I came from a background that listened to ungodly music for a number of years, and I don't want that in our church. And so there are certain guidelines and certain things that we set up there. We try to do things right, and we try to do things holy, and we try to be what we consider scriptural when it comes to certain things. But music is not something that I know that much about. So because of that, I depend on other people. And then sometimes it still comes to that spot that says, hey, that just doesn't seem right. But when it talks about being worldly, talks about pleasing the flesh, all those other things, I want to communicate and learn the things that God cares about. When our heart has been opened to understand, our lips then will impart the knowledge that we can teach others what God's heart is about a certain topic. How we talk about loving our families. It's when we talk about husbands, you know, love your wife, wives submit into your husbands, that's a hard topic for certain people. But if you can understand God's heart from it and see what God's trying to say, there's a way to understand it and explain it when it comes to money. Lots of people don't like to hear people talk about money, but if you can understand God's heart when it comes to it, then it's something that you can explain because you've learned. And nothing wrong with just being obedient because that was what we're supposed to do because his word talks about all that time. But a person who's truly going to be revived, a person who's really going to be able to talk of thy wondrous things, it's not going to be say, well, that book's great. It's wonderful. You get a lot of things out of it. Well, can you show me something? No, but I know there's something wonderful in there. And the preacher tells me that. David's saying, I want to understand your ways. Because when I know it's truth, I know it's right, I know it's wonderful, but so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. The more we understand God and his ways, the more we'll admire him. And if some people say, well, the more you know about the Bible, the more you're not going to like God, I think that's totally untrue. If you learn God and learn his ways and learn his heart, what's going to happen? It's going to be something that you're going to admire him more. You're going to fall in love with him greater. Let's see here. Okay, let's look at Nick's verse. I don't know if we're going to get done all eight tonight or not, but Nick's one. I thought it was good for today either way. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You would think if a guy's cleaving, if a guy's fighting the flesh, asking God for revival, declaring his ways, asking God to teach his statutes, seeking God's heart on matters, talking to others about wonders, that he would have no problems. That's just not true. There's a prosperity gospel out there that will tell you, hey, you shouldn't have any sickness, you shouldn't have any this, any that, but we all die. We all get sick. But there is a heaviness sometimes that happens in this world. There is sadness that comes. The soul here is referring to the center of your life. It's referring to the decision-making part, your emotional centerpiece. Meltif gives the idea of weeping, means pouring out, means as if crying to where you cannot cry anymore. And sometimes sorrow and grief does happen in life, but David is saying, Lord, when these things happen, when these hard things happen, when these things that are grieving me happen, let me get my strength from you. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Now, I think we can get strength from other places. I think we can get encouragement by telling our friends they're praying for us and other things. But David is saying, the one thing I want to learn from you is the promises that are found in your word. I want those things to be the things that strengthen me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness. That's a verse that can strengthen. I don't have to be afraid because God has told me he will strengthen me. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Another one that sits there and increases our strength and says, you know what? God cares for me. Jeremiah says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Yea, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There's promises that are found in there that will strengthen us even during the heaviest times. Next thing you see here, he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. He says, look, I don't want this way of sin anymore. I don't want this way of idolatry. I don't want this idea of self-righteousness. I don't want this idea of folly. God, will you just remove this from me? Now, our flesh, once again, he's there, and our flesh is always cleaving to the dust. But he's saying, I don't want this. I want to just, God, can you get this out of my path? And he says, grant thy law graciously. And I love that word graciously. The psalmist doesn't want anything to do with it. He's asking God to remove it completely from him. And we see the psalmist asking what to take away, but now what to introduce. And he is gracious in his state. And anybody that's asking God for his law is in a gracious spot. God, I want to learn. We're in the unmerited favor of God. And we learn how God teaches us is graciously many times when we're seeking him. Sometimes he has to teach us by smacking us over the head with a 2x4. But oftentimes, if we're seeking him like he is here, God will teach us graciously. You think about it, there is grace and truth that's found in John 1:14 wrapped up in the body of Jesus Christ. And we have truth, but sometimes I don't think we're gracious. And David's saying, I want you to be gracious to me. And we want God to treat us graciously, but do we treat others graciously? Then you keep on going, and he says, I have chosen the way of truth. So he's made his choice. I'm going. This David makes the deliberate choice. He abhorred the way of lying. He chose the way of truth. And you have to choose this one way or another. You're either going to go the way of God or go the way of the flesh. Because of the fact that the soul cleaveth unto the flesh cleaveth unto this world, and the spirit's going to be fighting and trying to go God's way. Thy judgments have I laid before me. So he says, look, I made this choice, and I put your law, your judgments, I put those things in front of me. So how do you put those things in front of me? That means that I'm putting things of reminders that are there in front of me. On my pathway, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm listening to scripture. On my pathway, I'm heading before me. I'm looking at your judgments. Everything that's going in, it's those are the things that I'm focusing on. Those are the things I'm listening to. Those are the things that I've laid out before me. Sometimes we lay out TV before us. Sometimes we lay out talk radio before us. And once again, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of enjoyment. But if we're going to go the right way, we're going to have to lay God's purposes out there as we're passing by. And we need a purpose in our hearts. And he puts God's judgment out there. I think about Deuteronomy when they talk about his word, and it says, I shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, upon the frontlet of thy eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. What's he saying there? It's in front of me. I want it always to be in front of me. And we're hurrying through these last couple ones. And he says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. That word stuck, same word that talks about cleaveth in verse number 25. Same Hebrew word that's found there. It's the same idea, adhering to. He says, I'm going to stick to you. Your flesh is going to stick to the world. And he says, my spirit has made a choice. I'm going to stick to your testimonies. He was deliberate about it. He says, this is my choice, this is my path, and I'm going to do it. And he says, in this next phrase, he says, put me not to shame. He says, don't fail me. Of course, God's not going to fail you. And David is someone who had shame in his life at different times and the sins that he had done. But he says, no, don't fail me. God will always do his part. And then he says, I will run the way of thy commandments. He makes a choice, and he says, I'm not going to do it halfway or half-hearted. I'm going to run when thou shalt enlarge my heart. As you're teaching me and as you're growing, I'm making this determination, I'm running towards it. Sometimes when we come to a spot and God's working in our hearts, we kind of go really, really slow. And then as we're going slow, we see the attractions of this world and we're pulled away. David's like, as you enlarge my heart, I'll make you a promise. I'm going that way. So tonight, do you want revival? Do you want a heart that is quickened like David said? I think one of the important things is to get to that spot and declare your works. God, this is what I'm struggling with. I'm bringing this out in the light. I need to do this better. Help me here, Lord. And then you see all those different passages, the choices he makes. He says, God, not only do I want you to teach me thy statutes, I want you to help me understand these statutes so I can talk about how wonderful you are. And then I'm setting out this pathway. Lord, remove the way of lying. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want any foolishness. I want to head down the right path. I'm going to put your word and your testimonies in the way, and I'm going to take off and run as you're enlarging my heart. I know in my life there's been many times that I need to be quickened, that I need reviving. And the reason why is because there's a flesh that is always tempting, that is always drawing towards the world, that always has the desires there. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. He talked about crucifying the flesh. He talked about that you don't have to be a servant of sin. That's why the Bible is so explicit about it and saying, those things I wanted to do, I never did. And those things I didn't want to do, that's what I always did. There's a way to David is saying, God, I need your help. Quicken me. You're not going to do it on your own. You're going to have to get alone with God and say, I'm declaring my works. I'm not holding anything back. And God, that's when you're going to hear me. And God, that's when you're going to answer me your prayers. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for Psalms 119. I thank you for the heart of the psalmist. Lord, even in the passage of Scripture, I see how it seems like his flesh, he's struggling with his flesh. Man after God's own heart is struggling with his flesh, just like any believer that's trying to do what's right. Lord, help us to see those things and help us to declare our works unto you. Thank you for promising to hear them. Lord, guide our steps. Give us those words, those things that are necessary. And Lord, help us to have your heart when it comes to your law. Law is even the wrong word. Lord, when it comes to your commandments, your statutes, your testimonies, help it not just to be a conforming, because this is what we have to do. Sometimes we have to do that. But Lord, in issues that are hard, issues that are tough, issues that come along with maybe so many different things that are hot button topics in our world today. Entertainment's one of those things. Lord, marriages are one of those things. Families, children, respect. Lord, modesty. Lord, entertainment. There's just so many things that your word speaks about. But Lord, I don't think we ask like David did. Lord, help me to understand them. Help me to know your heart. Help me not just to be a parrot. Instead, to truly examine your word and learn from them. So I can talk about how wondrous works that they have. Make sense of them, Lord. Lord, so that way we can teach them to the next generation. Because, Lord, if someone doesn't show that next generation, the group's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller that's willing to conform. But, Lord, thankful that your church is never going to be defeated. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And, Lord, we know that you are coming back again someday. But, Lord, help us to have a desire for your word, a longing, like you see in Psalms 119 over and over and over. I want to be quickened, Lord. I'm willing to say I have a battle that's going on inside of me. My flesh is always fighting against doing what is right, wrong and doing what's right. And, Lord, I've chosen my way. I want to do what's right, and I need your help. Help me to understand. Lord, help me to choose that path. Lord, help me to run towards it as you enlarge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.